Good morning. Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It's very nice to be here in the house of worship and to, I don't know how I feel, like some of the Sunday school teachers and some of the comments were talking about 60-year-olds being at the end of life, and I'm 67 now, so I guess that's the way it is. But regardless, it's good to be here. Just by way of announcement, George Steiner and Connor Van Pelt and Angela Van Pelt have applied for membership here, and we will start them on the approving process, 3-month approving process, before we receive them as members. So, very honored to have them want to be part of us, and look forward to their participation in the Mount Joy Church. Let's go to the book of James. I don't think that any of us we are all thinking about Lowell's trial and the judgment against him and so forth. And it made me think of this verse in the book of James, in verse 13 of James 2. We're going to later read the first 13 verses of James 2, but I'll just introduce the subject here, that James says in verse 13, well, let's read 12 too. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Mercy rejoiceth against judgment. That's the title of the sermon this morning, is Mercy Rejoiceth Against Judgment. We know just judgment is to be justice. It is to be fair. But mercy is something other than that, and it rejoiceth against judgment. And it's much more than that. We'll try and describe that as we go through the sermon this morning. When we were young, we would often say, after someone would tease us and get us for something, throw mud balls at us or whatever, tomatoes, rotten tomatoes or whatever, we would retaliate, for instance, like by riding our bicycle through a mud puddle and getting them all wet. And they would complain about that, and we would say, you just got what you deserve. I think we all can identify with that as trying to give people what they deserve. Now, I'd like to ask this question to the young people here this morning. Maybe we'll top it off at 25. But I want an answer to this, and it's an important answer. If God gave you what you deserved, what would you get?
Judgment.
What's that?
Judgment.
Okay. And you're right, at least in part. But what would that judgment be? Would it be 25 years, or would it be 50 years, or what? Anybody? Okay, what's that? Okay. If God would give you what you deserve, you would get death. You would get death. Now, in Genesis 2, he gives the law to Adam and Eve, and he said, but of the tree and knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. Disobedience is the penalty, is death. The sentence is death. And the result, the justice, is death. But listen to this. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as why one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, Joe Weaver included, for that all have sinned. So if we got what we deserved, we'd be spiritually dead forever, right? Forever. You and I, Dennis and myself and Keith and Connor and all that, they would be dead spiritually forever. So what do we need to live? That's another question for you young folks. What do we need to live spiritually? What's that? Acceptance of salvation. Very good. Not quite specific as I wanted. Anyone else?
Mercy.
We need mercy. We need mercy. Mercy. If we got what we deserve, we would be spiritually dead forever. We need mercy. Now, the question is what is mercy? And I think we all understand that to a certain degree. But we might talk about that a little bit later. If we got what we deserved, we would be dead spiritually forever. We need mercy. If we got what we deserve, we would receive death, and that would be perfect justice. That would be justice if we would receive what we deserve. That would be fair. That would make it right. If someone serves his term in prison, then he is set free, we say, He has served justice. Now, what we need to have a spiritual life, and I would like you to turn over to, we're not going to go to our text right away this morning. I'd like you to turn to Titus 3. Titus 3, and I want you all to help me read this, Titus 3, 4 through verse 7. Titus 3, verse 4 through 7. Everyone together. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that by sanctified by his grace, we may be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. How were we saved? Let's have the girls say it. It's right here. Okay, very good. According to his mercy, he saved us. He saved us by his mercy. He didn't just give us justice. He went on beyond that, and Jesus died and so forth, like we preach about often. But he, as a result, we have received mercy. And now what can, and it's, verse 6 says, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And then, as a result, we can be assured of what? It's right here in these verses. Let's have the boys go again. To the hope of eternal life, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It's according to his mercy he saved us. Now, I just want to read you some verses about God's mercy. And I want you to listen. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Today, the mercy of the Lord is from thousands of years back, thousands of years ahead. It's from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. It's unfathomable. It's limitless. It's abundant. Everlasting to everlasting. Psalm 108 verse 4 says, for the mercy is, for thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. And thy truth reaches under the clouds, or way above the clouds. It's in the heavens. It's abundant mercy. It is gigantic mercy. You might say it is loads of mercy. It is trainloads of mercy. It is higher than the spaceships go. His mercy is that way. What is mercy? Well, in terms that we can understand, compassion or mercy is shown towards someone who it is within one's power to punish or harm. God had the ability to punish or harm us, and he showed us mercy. And today, we, as a people, have the ability to punish or harm people, and yet we as Christians show them mercy instead. And I think it's so important that we make this connection that because God was merciful to us, we are merciful to our fellows, to our brothers, to our sisters, to our wives, to our husbands, to the next one sitting close to us on the pew, and to the man on the street. Because we're merciful, because God was merciful to us. Okay, let's turn to 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16. And again, let's read this together. Verses 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16. This is a saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. What is the result of this obtaining mercy in the life of the Apostle Paul? What was the result of him obtaining mercy from Jesus Christ? Anybody? Okay, he had hope of eternal life. All right, that's good. What else? Okay, I obtain mercy in verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern. A pattern is something you follow to them which should hereafter believe in him to life everlasting. Do we understand that principle? I obtain mercy that I might show forth all longsuffering, a pattern to them which should believe for thousands of years, should believe on him to life everlasting. It's clear, my friends. It's powerful. And it's wonderful that we can, because we've obtained mercy, that we can show forth the pattern of mercy of longsuffering to those we live with. Salvation, my dear friends, listen to this. It's a simple statement. Salvation makes men merciful. Now let's go to Luke 6. Luke 6 and verse 36. Let's read this again together. Luke 6:36, all together. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. How should we be merciful? Let's have an answer. How should we extend mercy? As God extended us mercy. It's very clear. It's a simple verse. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. The Beatitudes. There's this verse in Matthew 5. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall what? Okay, for us to experience mercy, we must be merciful. And it's such a wonderful thing that God can, mercy can flow through us to the world around us. And we can be vessels of mercy, like it says in Romans 9. One thing about this study on mercy is it's way too big of a subject for 45 minutes, so hang on to your seats. It might take a while, but nevertheless, I'll try and be done near when it should be. Let's turn to Hebrews 10. Turn to Hebrews 10. And verse 30 and 31. Hebrews 10 and 30 says, "For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." I bring these verses out to teach you that vengeance is God's prerogative. Vengeance is God's prerogative, and it takes it out of our hands to bring judgment against someone else. God says, it is mine. Vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense. I will pay. I will take care of it. I thought about that practically in relation to Lowell's trial. Vengeance belongeth unto me. And, the Lord is going to have the last word in that situation. But I don't want to talk about that in a derogative way. But the Lord will have the last word in that situation. A mother once approached the army general and emperor Napoleon, seeking a pardon for her son that had committed treason. The emperor replied that the young man had committed treason twice, and justice demanded death. You're in the army. You don't sell secrets to the enemy. If you do, you're going to die. That's what the law, in essence, that's what the law of Napoleon was. He was known for his efficient, well-disciplined armies. And he didn't take the selling of secrets kindly. He was going to bring justice. And he told the mother, he said, "Your son has committed this treason twice, and justice demands death." But the mother replied, "I don't ask for justice. I plead for mercy." Napoleon said, "But your son does not deserve mercy." And the lady, the mother of the soldier, said, "It would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for." "Well then," the emperor said, "I will have mercy." And he spared the woman's son. That is such a simple, profound truth for human relationships. We all are guilty. We all are guilty. We all hurt each other. We're offenders. We hurt each other, and we say bad things about each other, and we even physically hurt each other. But we need not justice, but mercy. But mercy. Now let's go to James chapter 2. And I want to read the First 13 verses. Verse 1 says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." He could have said, you can't really have faith, the Lord of glory, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. If there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit under my footstool. Are ye then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? By you welcome this fellow that looked nice, dressed in a nice suit, and somebody that comes in with torn shirts and pants and smells kind of bad, and you put him down and welcome this fellow with a nice suit. Are ye not evil? Listen to this question. Are ye not then partial in yourselves and have become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom of God, which he hath promised you to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Those people that are in power, they dress in the upper echelons. They have part result of upward mobility, and they have the jobs as judges and so forth. Do not rich men oppress you? Verse 7, do not they blaspheme the worthy name by which you are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Just remember that verse. That's so important. We could go on and on about that one. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Very, very powerful verse. One day, there's going to be a judgment. You're going to stand before the God of heaven, the judge of the earth, Jesus Christ. And he's going to ask you if you have been merciful. And if he looks in your record and you have not been merciful, he's going to say, depart. Get out of here. I would like to look at some foundational principles of this mercy rejoicing against judgment. We need, number one, we need to grant mercy to others. not demand justice. God has given me the responsibility to be a church leader. And I'm amazed at how many people, how many church members say, demand justice. They say, well, I don't want him because he did this. I don't want him in a place of responsibility because he does this. We all have a knowledge of justice, what is fair, what is decent. But we can assign some, we assign motives all the time. In our human flesh, we do that. The golden rule applies that we have a sense of justice about how we should be treated. Let me read it to you. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye should do that men do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. We know what's just. We know what's just. You shouldn't act that way to me. We know. Whatsoever men should do to you, do even so to them likewise. How you would like to be treated is how you treat other people. And then it says in that verse, for this is the law and the prophets. The Old Testament law came out at this place that men, equity. Men, we should treat each other with equity. And if we want to be treated not with just justice, but with mercy, we have to treat men like we would want to be treated. Do we like justice? You know, let's ask the question. Let's all answer it in our heart. Do we like justice? Or do we like mercy? I choose mercy. We need to grant mercy to others, not demand justice. I tried to keep these points really understandable this morning. Point number two, Christians are colorblind to others' economic, cultural, or background difference. We don't judge people because those people are from New York City or West Virginia or have the background of Fellowship or Eastern or Nationwide or whatever. We don't judge them because of where they came from. We are equals in receiving mercy at the cross. We want to have mercy. We need to have mercy. When we have respect unto persons, it is an injustice. You know, I often hear that, I want to be fair here. I do it too, but we often hear somebody walks in, well, he was really dressed nice, you know, okay. And we think you're much... That's nice. You know, we tend to, as people, we tend to think of people as up here or down there. You know, we often hear the expression, we got to get down and meet someone. Get down to their level. Does that make sense? From Christian perspective? We're all in the equal. We don't go down. I don't go down to Keith and relate to him. We are no respecter of persons because why? God is no respecter of person. That's why. 1 Timothy 5:21 says that I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels. Now that's an interesting thought, that the angels are seeing how you treat others. That thou observe these things without preferring one another, doing nothing by partiality. God is no respecter of persons. Number three, to love your neighbor truly is to fulfill the royal law of liberty. Now the question might be, is who is your neighbor? There was a man that asked that to Jesus, and then I didn't write it down here, but the parable of the man laying beside the road, what was the name of that? Good Samaritan parable. That was the answer Jesus gave. That was part of the answer Jesus gave. Is to fulfill, to love your neighbor is to fulfill the royal law of Scripture. And now what is love? What is love? True love is being merciful. Being merciful. A man came to Jesus one day and said, which is the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. What? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The Bible is about this issue of mercy and love, and all everything that we do and read in the Bible ends up in this. In this love and mercy. You cannot have true love without having true mercy. And that's boundless mercy. We are to love our neighbor as God loves us. We are to extend mercy to him regardless of the circumstances, regardless of our treatment from our neighbor. He might have jerked out our fence posts. He might have drove over the yard. A lot of different things. But regardless of that, we are to have mercy on him. All the law and prophets had the sum total that we were to love, have mercy on, not bring justice to. Number four, mercy is extended even when we are falsely judged and condemned. That's mercy. Even when we are falsely judged and condemned. You remember the story of Stephen? He was surrounded by a mob that hated him, and they were picking up stones to throw at him, and Stephen said, He told them, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hard in ears, do ye always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did? So do ye. And he went on and on. Mercy is extended when we are falsely judged and condemned. Stephen was a man of the new covenant. And as those rocks were flying at him, and they were, and there was taking his body down blow by blow, and in his last breath he said this, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep and died. The last words of Stephen, at the hands of an atrocious, violent, vicious, martyred crowd, he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He was merciful. What about you? In a lot less things than that, mercy always treats everyone the same, regardless of position of influence, authority, or power. It acts gently with mercy toward them. Mercy makes room for the other person. How about you? Do you make room for everyone? Those who have treated you bad? Number 5, mercy goes beyond not responding to insult, but blessing those who have hurt you. Blessing those who have hurt you. Matthew 5 gives that, and we don't have time to go there. But Matthew 5 says, resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the cheek. Get smacked on the cheek. That's a lot to take. But turn to him the other. Turn to him the other. And he talks about, someone compels you to go a mile, go with him twain. But we are to bless them that curse you. Bless and curse not. Mercy goes beyond not responding to insult, but blessing those who have hurt you. And verse 45 of Matthew 5 says this, very profound, that ye may be your father, the children of your father, which is in heaven. You can't be a child of God unless you're willing to bless others that hurt you, that insult you, that call you names, that don't talk to you, that it's a test of being a Christian. Practically speaking, we may never be the instigator of a litigation lawsuit against someone. Don't take other people to the law. That's why, you know, I heard of two brothers recently, have two Christian brothers, supposedly Christian brothers, who had signed a non-compete agreement. What's the matter with that? Well, if you sign a non-compete agreement rather than a handshake, that means you're getting ready for a lawsuit. If the other person doesn't fulfill his his non-compete agreement, you're getting ready to sue him. And we could go on and on. Sixth, we cannot join organizations that demand justice rather than extend mercy. Business association that has lobbies in Congress that want to bring certain aspects of society to justice, we cannot join them, because if we join them, we are part of that lobby, and we do what they say when they take someone to court, then we are part of that. Christ's mercy on us. Christ's mercy on us makes us merciful people. And we don't want to be associated with a lobby in Congress. We cannot engage in demanding fairness. We extend mercy to people around us in our marriages and relationships in the church. We cannot vote for a president who will declare war. We are a people of mercy. That's why we don't vote, dear ones. I had someone ask me recently why we don't vote. Well, the reason we don't vote is because at least in the case with the president, he is the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, and he says when the armed forces go into war and kill other people. We stay aloof from the government. Treason against, in Article 3 of the Constitution of the U.S., it says this: treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them, or listen to this, or in adhering to their enemies and giving them comfort and aid. Dear ones, today, if there was a war in Lithuania, we should be aiding both sides. In the Civil War, that was the case with the Mennonite people, and they were shot at from both sides. Revolutionary War, the Mennonites in Lancaster County were accused of treason for feeding destitute British soldiers. Final point. Christians who treat others with mercy that we have been granted have assurance at the judgment. We could go to Matthew 25. We don't have time. But we have the picture there of the Son of Man and all his holy angels sitting on the throne, and he's gathering all nations, you and me included. And there's going to be the right hand and the left hand, the goats on the left and the sheep on the right. And the King God will say, "Come, come ye blessed." And to those who granted mercy, "For I was an hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and he took me in." Those are all acts of mercy. "Naked and he clothed me. I was sick and he visited me. I was in prison and he came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When we saw thee stranger and took thee in, naked or clothed thee, and so forth. And then God will answer, verily I say it unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Today, dear ones, mercy is the difference in judgment. It's a serious matter. Those that showed acts of mercy. And I suppose that people could have said to the hungry, well, why don't you get out and work? And then you wouldn't be hungry. But nevertheless, they extended mercy anyways. Why don't you get some good clothes? Get a job and get some good clothes. You wouldn't have to be poorly dressed. But they extended mercy anyways. James 2:13. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. What an awful thing is to be standing at the judgment of God when he brings justice to the world. And he says, you were a good Mennonite, but you didn't have mercy. Depart from me, you cursed. Let's pray.